Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. A few days ago, a friend of mine said, "Tom, did you see now that the Mennonites are going to start doing gay weddings?" And I said, "I don't know. Mennonites are about the most conservative Christian group in the United States." So I investigated. She was right. The Mennonites? And I said to her, "Doesn't it just seem like everybody is caving? Nobody is standing up to anything anymore." And she said, "Well, Jesus said the way is narrow that leads to life." You know what I would say to the leaders of the Mennonites? Are you crazy? Have you not seen what that move does to denominations? The first church to ordain practicing homosexuals and do gay weddings was the United Church of Christ. That church has shrunk away to almost nothing. But in the enlightened leadership, the denominations, it's most liberal at the very top and at the seminaries. And once they're enlightened more than Scripture, you just kind of can't talk to them. What I want to do for this program is share with you some recent tragic examples of false teaching in the church. And then we're going to ask, how did this happen? These denominations that used to be biblical, what happened? And so Mona is going to ask some questions. Let's open with a prayer. Father, we pray for your church. All over the world, churches are just not following the Scriptures anymore. And we pray, Lord, for everyone watching this program, that you get them into a good church where they will learn the Word of God. We pray that you turn things around in these evil churches, Lord. And speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, Mona, what's the first one you got?
Our first question. In prior programs, you have talked about how the pro-gay mindset has taken over some denominations. When did this happen?
Let me give you the gay timeline. The most liberal Protestant denomination is the United Church of Christ, the Congregational Church. They were the first in 1972 to embrace homosexuality, do gay marriages, have homosexual pastors with boyfriends. And so they did it first, 1972. Then in 1994, the very liberal Episcopal Church in America did the same thing. And then in 2009, the ELCA Lutheran Church did the same thing. 2011, the PCUSA Presbyterian Church did the same thing. More recently, the Disciples of Christ, the Reformed Church in America, the Mennonites, and on the verge of doing the same is the United Methodist Church. The Methodists are going to be doing the same thing now. So there you go, Mona. Mm-hmm. And just in case somebody has never heard the story, I used to be an ELCA Lutheran, and I led my church out. You've got to hear this story. The year's 2009. Lutherans have come from all over the country to Minneapolis for its national convention. They're going to vote on whether to embrace homosexual behavior, have gay pastors, gay weddings, etc. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the debate is going to begin, and out of nowhere comes a tornado that tears part of the roof off of the convention center. Across the street from the convention center is the very liberal, old historic Central Lutheran. The gay lobby was using the lawn of Central Lutheran to set up beer tents to work the crowd, and that's where they were having their meetings. The tornado tore up the beer tents, and the big stall steeple cross, big huge iron steeple cross of Central Lutheran in the tornado was turned upside down. It hung there for months till they fixed it. So then, Mona, they go back into the convention, and one pastor joked, "Well, I hope the weather isn't God's comment on what we're doing here today. Ha ha." Some pastors got to the microphone defending Scripture. "What are you doing here?" But the convention needed 2/3 vote to endorse homosexuality. They needed 66%. You know what they got? I'm not making this up. They got 66.6%. And it went through. And ever since, the ELCA has been losing members, closing seminaries, and selling buildings because the church is shrinking, mm-hmm. and it should. Mm-hmm. So that is the story of the... and you know, the other bad thing, back in 2009 when the ELCA Lutherans did that, the conservatives were promised, look, we're going to still respect the traditional view on this issue, but we're also now going to respect the liberal one. Did that pan out? It did not. The national publications of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America will not even present the conservative view anymore. Mm-hmm. Their national magazine, it's all pro-gay and transgender. I'm part of a conservative group that helps people out of homosexuality. We asked if we could pay to put an ad in the national magazine. They refused it mm-hmm. because basically we don't believe like that anymore. So both views are no longer tolerated in the publications. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right.
Are these denominations also in favor of transgenderism?
Transgenderism is when a man presents himself as a woman mm-hmm. or a woman thinks she's a man and so presents herself that way. And yes, we've talked about this on prior shows. The ELCA has the world's first transgender bishop. Mm-hmm. Now, Mona, Minneapolis is a very liberal city. Mm-hmm. The Hennepin County Library System is very liberal. Recently, I went into the men's room of the Minneapolis Library. They had a poster up offering tampons for menstruating people. Not menstruating mm-hmm. women. And what they're doing is they're pushing the agenda that mm-hmm. if you're a man and you menstruate because you think you're a woman, they're going to offer you. And I complained and got the usual liberal response, we're embracing everything, everybody. It's sick when the culture does that. It's super sick when the church is doing it. Mm-hmm. So now the California bishop, it's a woman who dresses like a man, and she wants to be called they. Well, guess what happened?
What?
They has been, the head bishop, who's very liberal on this, asked her, I refuse to say they, asked her to step down because allegedly she mishandled something and allegedly said something racist. So now they are no longer a bishop. But, this is some ELCA churches, Lutheran churches, and some Methodist churches have brought in drag queens to worship services. So that the drag queen can read storybooks to children. Again, that's happening in the culture. Mm-hmm. It's happening now in some churches. And get this, the ELCA Lutheran Church, that's the liberal branch of Lutheran, the Missouri Synod, the other Lutheran branches are much more biblical, but sadly the big one is the ELCA. They had a summer camp, a camp for junior high students in Pennsylvania run by the ELCA Susquehanna Synod. Listen, and at that junior high camp, somebody wrote a report. The first activity during camp, the kids were asked for their pronouns. All references to God the Father were changed to God the Parent. They had a transgender man, a woman pretending to be a man, speak to the children about her coming out story and how she was hurt by people she loved when she came out as trans. Hmm. Again, I'm expecting our liberal politicians to be promoting this stuff. I'm not expecting Lutheran leaders to be doing this, mm-hmm. but it's happening. Mm-hmm. And it's not, again, it's not just the Lutherans. UCC is even worse. So.
You have talked about how some churches avoid God the Father language, and some even pray to God the Mother. When did this start?
In 1993, liberal Protestants came from around the country to liberal Minneapolis for the Reimagining God Conference. And these are feminists, men and women, in church leadership, who believe that it's sexist to exclusively call God Father, to exclusively refer to God as He. So they wanted to reimagine new images to worship. So they invented the goddess Sophia, and they praised her in all of her glory as another image for God. Well, Jesus never taught us to pray our Mother who art in heaven. So that is it was starting some before then, but recently, a Lutheran church here in Minneapolis, in one of the suburbs, offered, and I'm reading from their website, Faith and Gender Worship Service, quote, We'll worship together in ways that expand our thinking about faith and gender, including using gender-expansive pronouns for God, and singing music that celebrates the diversity of gender expression. This is an explicitly transgender and non-binary affirming worship service. It will be a little different from our typical worship services, but it will be life-giving. Now, this is one church being wacko, but the whole denomination voted about 2 years ago to use expansive language for God. In other words, let's get beyond God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When the transgender bishop was ordained, I don't know, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, the head bishop, Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, went out to install her, not them, her. And in her prayer, the head bishop of the ELCA Lutherans prayed to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but then she prayed to the parent, child, and holy breath. And then she prayed to God as rain, estuary, and sea. Who prays to God as the rain? But see, this is them inventing new imagery for God. We don't have that right. Jesus, the last thing Jesus said on earth was, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. If Jesus taught us to pray to God the Father, who are you to dream something else up because you think you're more enlightened than Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
All right. There is, and again, it's not just, there's a PCUSA Presbyterian Church here in the Twin Cities, very liberal. They have a Sunday afternoon worship service, and I watch it just to get heresy updates for this show, and their pastors have decided not to call God He anymore. So when you watch the worship service, it's God, 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 God. They avoid using the word Father for God. I noticed that they rewrote some scripture during the gospel lesson to get rid of some male type language. But again, isn't this arrogant that we're going to improve upon the words of Jesus Christ? I've shared this on the show before too, but across the street from where I live is a large liberal Methodist church. On a rare occasion, I'll go. I slipped in, and they had two pastors. One is the senior pastor, and then they had a black African pastor, so they have two pastors, and there were two babies that are going to be baptized. The pastor from Africa, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The head pastor baptizes baby number two. I baptize you in the name of the one who makes all things and the Son and the Spirit. Did you notice what he did? He got rid of God the Father. I found out where his P.O. box was in the narthex. I was polite, but I wrote a note. Dear Pastor, Jesus had baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It was his last words on earth. Do we have the right to change that? Do we know more than Jesus Christ does? So this is arrogant. So there you go.
Wouldn't you think that the congregation would start to shrink?
Well, and they do. You bet they do. You should see how big these churches are after a while. Yeah. So,
where do various denominations stand on abortion?
You know, Mona, decades ago, all the churches were against abortion. I mean, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, everybody was against abortion. And then in the 60s, the feminist movement came along, sexual liberation, and some of the churches wanted to be hip and relevant, and they started to be more open to abortion. So let me just explain what happened recently that just grieves me. When it was discovered that perhaps the Supreme Court is going to overthrow Roe versus Wade, representatives from the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the head bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, of the ELCA Lutheran Church, wearing a big cross around her neck, went to the White House to say, we're Christians and we're in favor of abortion rights. We like Roe versus Wade. I mean, can you imagine being upset that we're not going to be able to kill as many babies? And for her, with that cross around her neck, the upper representative, in the name of Christ, to lobby for abortion, that, it just grieved me, Mona. And the other thing, one reason I left the ELCA, the Presbyterian Church USA, the United Church of Christ, I'm guessing, but I'm not sure, the Episcopal Church, they all pay for abortions with offering dollars. When you put money in the plate in their church's health care plan, at the ELCA will pay for abortion for any reason. I can't give them a penny. And we, our congregation left the ELCA and joined a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. So there you go.
Sad day.
Yeah.
On a prior program, you said some pastors no longer believe Jesus died for our sins. What do they believe?
Now, this is kind of new. This is the attack on the atonement. And some pastors think to believe that God the Father would punish Jesus for our sins mm-hmm. is divine child abuse. God wouldn't do that because God is love. God has no anger. God has no wrath. And so I would just say to those pastors, have you read Romans chapters mm-hmm. 1, 2, and 3? The wrath of God is all over chapters 1 and 2 of Romans. So in chapter 3, he brings in Jesus to save us from the wrath of God. It explicitly says in Romans, Jesus saves us from the wrath to come. Christians have always believed we're sinners. Jesus comes to earth. He pays for our sins. He dies in our place. And now we're saved. But these pastors don't believe that anymore because that makes God a monster. All right, so I read, one of the largest ELCA Lutheran churches in the country has a pastor that preaches this way. So I read carefully his statement on this. What does he believe? Well, Jesus doesn't pay for our sins. There is no wrath of God. What Jesus does is he becomes one of us, and he shares in our sorrows, and he shares in our suffering. Well, you can do that. I can do that. That's not going to save anybody. Mm-hmm. So that it's rather tragic. Yeah.
Very tragic. Which denominations still believe in hell?
Well, the Catholic Church. Again, technically, I think all the churches still believe in hell, but they've left that behind. Mm-hmm. Technically, I think even the ELCA, a lot of ELCA Lutherans believe in hell. But when the Chicago newspaper asked the head bishop of the ELCA, is there a hell? She said, there might be, but I think it's empty. According to Jesus, there are people in hell weeping and gnashing their teeth. But again,
that's right.
She's more enlightened than Christ, mm-hmm. I guess. And and you know, it's tragic, Mona. This is a heresy called universalism. It's everywhere in the liberal Protestant churches. There's no hell. Everybody goes mm-hmm. to heaven. And what that does, it kills the gospel.
It does.
If you don't need Christ to be mm-hmm. saved, you're going to do other things with your money, time, and talents. Mm-hmm. Go to the ELCA.org website. And look at all the political pronouncements by the ELCA. Not about reaching the lost for Christ, how we need to save a world from hell. None of that. It's all climate change, LGBT rights, mm-hmm. pro-choice rights, all this stuff. So if there is no hell and everybody goes to heaven, we got to do something with our money, time, and talents as a church. Let's talk climate change.
Mm-hmm. Need to get back to the Word.
Absolutely.
When did all this false teaching start?
Yeah, that's the big question. And let me just clarify this, though. The church is at the very worst at the top and at the seminaries and at campus ministries. Mm-hmm. That's where things are most radical. Lots of ELCA Lutherans, PCUSA Presbyterians still believe in the Bible, still believe in Christ. Mm-hmm. Things really have gone wrong at the leadership level. Mm-hmm. And that's where Satan took over. So your question was, when did all this start? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to give you my opinion. In Germany, in the 1920s, were theologians like Rudolf Bultmann, who taught that Jesus did not literally rise from the dead, but he rose in the hearts of his disciples. And they believed he rose from the dead. He didn't really, but they believed Christ was still with him. And so you get what's called the demythologizing of Scripture, that most of Scripture didn't really happen, but it's nice. It has some good symbolic meaning. Mm-hmm. And so some students went to Germany to get instructed at the seminary, brought it back to the United States, and in the 30s, 40s, 50s, it started creeping in. When I was in seminary at the end of the 70s, it was already in the Lutheran, my Lutheran seminary, mm-hmm. Luther Seminary, but today it's taken over. I mean, they have transgender preachers, they pray to God the Mother at Luther Seminary, they had a transgender worship service, transgender Day of Remembrance service, they brought in I mean, it's horrible now at Luther. And Luther had to sell off some of its buildings. These churches are shrinking. So, Mona, there's something in German called the Zeitgeist, and that's a word that means the spirit of the age. And every age, Christians need to be careful not to compromise with the zeitgeist. For instance, during World War II, and I'm a Lutheran, a lot of Lutherans in Germany compromised with the zeitgeist, and they went along with Hitler.
Yeah.
Now, God bless Bonhoeffer and other Lutheran pastors mm-hmm. who died rather mm-hmm. than do that. But today the zeitgeist is all the LGBT stuff, all the pro-abortion stuff. These churches have compromised, and they're right in sync with the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. So that's the tragic stuff of what has happened.
What can we do to get back to the Word?
Well, yeah, we need to get back to the Word. And, you know, I pray, Lord, raise up prophets. Mm-hmm. Would you please raise up some prophets to speak to these denominations to get back? But there you go.
Amen, mm-hmm. Right? Do liberal churches use the Bible? Do they believe it is inspired?
Oh, they do. They all, well, Shakespeare's inspired. Is the Bible inspired? Well, yes, it's a good book. Liberals will tell you that. But is it inerrant? Is it infallible? Mm-hmm. No, the Bible has errors. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example of what liberals believe. Augsburg College is an ELCA-related Lutheran college. I would send no one there. So they brought in a speaker to Augsburg Chapel to speak to the students. This is a Lutheran pastor. In her sermon, she talked about the story of the Syrophoenician woman. She wanted her daughter healed, and Jesus said, not right to take the Jews' bread and throw it to the dogs. But then the woman persisted, and Jesus said, woman, greatest are your faith, healed the daughter. The woman preacher, who used the F word in her sermon at Augsburg College Chapel, then went on to say that Jesus made a mistake when he said what he said to the... Because what he said was kind of hard. So Jesus made a mistake. He screwed up when he talked about the Syrophoenician woman, and the Syrophoenician woman redeemed him. Mm-hmm. The Syrophoenician woman redeemed Jesus Christ because he made a mistake. What? That's called... The Bible's in error, but hey, I'm right. Mm-hmm. Let me give you another example. A Presbyterian Church USA pastor recently wrote an article that kind of went around the internet in which he said, Mother Father God is doing a new thing. And then in his article, he explains how Mother Father God now is in favor of various sexualities and the rainbow of creation and abortion rights. Hmm. Again, the Bible's wrong, but this Presbyterian pastor, he's enlightened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they think, huh?
Yeah.
Any signs of turning it around?
Mona, I'll tell you a prayer that I pray a lot. Lord, these the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Episcopal Church, the ELCA Lutherans, the United Methodists, Lord, turn these churches around. Mm-hmm. Send these churches people that'll call for repentance. I pray that a lot, but then I pray the second half of the prayer. But Lord, if they won't repent, may they shrink and die, mm-hmm. and may the people in those churches go to good churches where they will be fed the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And now your question was, any signs of these liberal denominations turning around? I keep a pulse on this stuff. I see nothing. Hmm. They're not going the wrong way. The United Methodists are about to do the same thing. The Mennonites just did it. And, oh, it's sad. So
sinking deeper.
Yeah.
What denominations are still good?
Well, there are, and I want people to hear this. There are still tons of good churches out there. Hebrews chapter 10 says every Christian is to be in part of a church. So be in a good church. Mm-hmm. Just to note, like I'm a Lutheran, all the other Lutheran denominations are good. Missouri Synod, Free Lutheran Church, LCMC, Wisconsin, they're biblical.
Mm-hmm.
The big liberal one, ELCA, is not. So if you have to leave an ELCA church, and you do, mm-hmm. Go to one of those. The Presbyterian Church USA, horribly liberal, but then you can leave it and join the Presbyterian Church in America or the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. I mean, there's all these good alternatives out mm-hmm. there. So, yes, there are the Southern Baptists are very good as far as holding the line. So there are good denominations and churches out there, but you need to probably leave a bad one for a good one because I don't see anything turning around. It's just getting darker and darker.
Mm-hmm. You can always ask family and friends
yeah.
where they go.
Yeah.
Should I leave a bad church or should I stay and be a light?
You know, now and then, we stayed, if you remember, we mm-hmm. stayed in the ELCA for many years, and I'd go to the conventions and I'd say, please, don't go there, and they'd go there. And finally, I came back and said, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was years ago. Today, things are extremely radical. And here's my opinion. Stay and fight. Sometimes people say, well, a pastor says, well, I believe like you do, Pastor Tom, but I think we should stay and fight. I said, okay, if you're going to stay, make sure you fight. Mm-hmm. Do you go to the conventions every year? Do you bring up the fact that the ELCA pays for abortions? Do you ever bring if they stay and don't fight, something's wrong. I think that ship has sailed. I think it's time to leave the ELCA. and the Presbyterian Church USA, and especially the United Church of Christ and the Episcopal Church, mm-hmm. and join one of the good alternatives. You can still be a Presbyterian, mm-hmm. but join one of the alternatives.
Doesn't say knock the dust off your shoes and travel on. Yep. And you have to know when to do that.
Yep, that's right, Mona. Yep.
How can I tell if I'm in a good church?
Yep, and I've said this many, many times. Here's how you tell. It's quick and easy. You go church shopping. Mm-hmm. Every church Christian should be in a church, Hebrews 10. And then you listen to the sermon, and if things, you go, Pastor, can I just talk to you for a minute? Wait till everybody shakes their hands and get them alone. Pastor, I'm thinking of joining this church. Do you believe Jesus is the only way of salvation? Do you believe there's a heaven and a hell? Do you believe in things like the virgin birth of Christ, the miracles of the Bible? Mm-hmm. Tell me your views on abortion, homosexuality, etc. And as I've said before, if you get good, clear, biblical answers, it's good church. If you get, well, that's a complex issue that Christians differ on, and I'm not prepared to say what I... Then you get another church.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to go back to that one, right?
No, that's right.
What do you think about the Catholic Church?
Well, I praise them for their very clear mm-hmm. stand for life.
Yes.
So they're very pro-life. But on the other hand, are they clear that we're saved by God's grace alone and not by earning heaven by our good works? The Pope was said, Pope Francis said to atheists at the beginning of his pontificate, "Atheists, just do good, and I'll see you there," meaning heaven. Hmm. So the way you get in heaven is by being good. You don't even have to believe in God. A 7-year-old gets to the microphone and says, "Pope Francis, my father was an atheist and he died, but will I ever see my father again?" Pope Francis, your father was a good man. You'll see him again. Mm-hmm. No. The New Testament teaches you have to believe in Christ to be saved. We're saved by the cross, by Christ's grace, not by your good works. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So I've got problems with Catholicism.
What exactly do the Catholics believe?
Well, you know, we better go to the last question because we've only got a minute.
Okay. Yep. How can I protect myself from heresy?
Yep. I would say this. I've shared this on the... My dad ran the racetrack, and I used to count all the money. Mm-hmm. I was the money counter in the back room. And every now and then you'd feel something funny, and you'd look at it close, and it was a counterfeit bill. You could tell it by the feel. And here's my plea to everybody watching this. Read your Bible mm-hmm. regularly. Get the feel of these pages in your fingers, and the more you know Scripture, the more you're going to be able to spot a heresy or a counterfeit like that. Mm-hmm. So one woman was asked, a friend at work said, "What's the difference now between you and me now that you're a Christian?" And she said, "One letter. You love the world, I love the Word." Mm-hmm. So I want to just say to everybody, read your Bible regularly, get into a good church that follows the Word and not the world. There you go.
In Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." See you next week.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.